The Gospel reading for today is from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. The transfiguration of the Lord is what is observed today, and as far as talking about anything in the scriptures that went on with Jesus, this is probably one of the most difficult events to wrap our heads around, in a sense, to explain or to understand. Jesus' face shines bright like the sun, his clothes become white as light, and Moses and Elijah appear and start talking with him. We're not told what they talked about. We're not told why they came in the first place. We just know that they show up, and these are two of the great prophets of old. And whether it's because of some direct revelation from God that the disciples that are there recognize who they are, or if it's from drawings that had been passed down of what these men looked like, or just verbal legend of how they would appear, they recognized these people and saw, with Moses, Elijah, and Jesus being here, this is truly as if heaven has come down to earth. And it had. But it had some time before, because the kingdom of heaven was with Jesus, and he had already been there for some time. This was really an eye-opening event for the disciples, though, to basically say, oh, now I get it, which they should have understood a long time before, Jesus as not just a son of God, the son of God, and God. And here they were. And here Jesus is now in all of his glory, and they go, this is making sense now. Of course, it doesn't take long and they won't understand it again, won't grasp it again until after the resurrection. The disciples were about as slow as we are. And yeah, we seem to understand things, and we say we understand things, and then we do something completely the opposite, as if we really understood what we were saying we believed and what we trusted in a lot in our life. But here we have a visual picture of the appearance of God. And Father God, of course, also speaks. This is the second time that he has said something from the skies before disciples, being in the presence of Jesus, saying about Jesus, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm pleased. Listen to him." He did that also with Jesus' baptism, you recall. Appeared form of a dove coming down, the Holy Spirit upon Jesus, with the Father speaking of from the heavens, "You know, this is my Son, my beloved." Now we have that great line, that fantastic line that has come to us through Scripture and has been, for me, kind of a rub, quite honestly, as I've read through Scripture and as I've heard it year after year after year. Because with this visual story taking place, with this appearance of the Father also speaking to Jesus, about Jesus, and with Moses and Elijah and Christ all there, you hear those great words, "Lord, it's good to be here." And I'm thinking, Moses, Elijah, Jesus, God the Father's voice, and you're saying it's good to be here. Curb your enthusiasm a little bit, please. Oh, it's good to be here. Really? How about it's the most amazing event in all of history at this point? How about this is the most incredible thing that's taken place? I can't believe what's going to... It'd be like if the David Crowder Band, Casting Crowns, and Chris Tomlin were all here on a Sunday morning worship. And we said, the music was nice today. It was nice. All these Christian artists, famous artists, sold lots of Christian records. Yeah, the music was nice. I liked it. Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Calm down a little bit. Don't be so excited about what just happened here. Jesus is in your presence. Moses and Elijah show up. Where is the excitement? Where is the enthusiasm? Where is the joy? Well, it's really there. I mean, there's so much that we get in an understanding that Peter wants to put up some sheds. Let's just build a house right here, basically, and stick it out. We're just going to settle down right here. There's no place better. Yeah, 'tis good, Lord, to be here, as our hymn says. You know, it's good to be here, but really, the enthusiasm certainly was there. But when I hear that, it just doesn't sound like it at first to me when I think of those words. And that makes me think about us. Because maybe those disciples were the first Lutherans. You know, they don't want to get too excited about things like worship, you know. Somebody might mistake them for charismatics or something, you know. We don't want that. You know, so we got to be good little Germans when we you know, worship, you know. I'm happy to be here. Peace of God be with you. You know, and also with you. Yeah, we got to have it, you know, memorized and, you know, say the right things and do the right. We got to know our ups and our downs, our Lutheran calisthenics to be able to get it in order. And here we have a reason for joy, and we don't seem to show that joy. And that's what makes me wonder if they're really that much different than we are. We have the Feast of Victory laid out for us today. The body and blood of Christ, in with and under the bread and wine of communion, given again for us. We have the opportunity every time we gather, remembering our baptismal vows that were said over us, our confirmation vows. Actually, that's the banner that we have up here, is the one that's used for confirmation today, reminding us that we make those vows and covenant back to God too. But as God's Word is among us, and we sing God's hymns, and we share God's love with each other, we seem to have to be a little refrained in how we express our joy. We don't want to smile too much. People will wonder what we're up to. We don't want to be too happy. They'll wonder what we did. And we certainly don't want to look around and let other people know that, you know, we appreciate their being here, because they might think, you know, that we're scouting out a new place to sit, and it might be theirs next. Don't want to let them have my seat. I'm not going to look at anyone. Are you excited about worship? I mean, is this the day that the Lord has made, or is it not? And if it is, aren't you glad to be in it? Isn't it a good thing to be joyful that God has brought us into this day? Shouldn't we rejoice and be glad in each and every day as a gift from God? I mean, we should look happy. We should sing joyfully. We should live like we actually love God. We should use our time, our talents, our treasures for His glory as if our salvation really means something to us. Life with God is something that much of the world doesn't understand. You do. So instead of just thinking, oh, this is a nice morning. Oh, this is a good day. How about it's amazing? We're worshiping our God. Our God is here, is truly here, and He's coming for us. And He's coming again soon for us in His own flesh to bring us back home to our eternal homes, to our permanent homes. In this transfiguration, you see, Jesus is set on a pedestal among the Old Testament prophets. Now, he's not on the same level with them. He's lifted above them, certainly, because He is exalted above them. He's not simply good. He is the Son of God. And that's our God. That's your God. Way back in 1977, before some in the congregation were born here, before some of your parents were born here, in a few cases of the few of... In 1977, there was a movie, Oh God. That was the name of it. John Denver was in the movie. John Denver and George Burns was in the movie. That tells you it was a while back. John Denver asks George Burns, who is playing the part of God, whether Jesus is the Son of God. And God answers, Jesus is my son, Muhammad is my son, Buddha is my son, Confucius is my son. To which my response is, God has never been more wrong, if that's the case. It's not true. You see, Christ is not just a son of God. Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. These others that have been on the earth, they had the opportunity perhaps to follow God and didn't choose to follow Him. They followed a different God, not the true God. They were not the children of God. They are not certainly the sons of God. Jesus Christ, our God, is the Son of God, the only Son of God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not Father, Sons, and Holy Spirit. There is one Christ, one Lord, one Savior. And Jesus Christ brings God's unique salvation to the world. Jesus is clothed in brilliance and glory, and He shares that glory with us. His death on the cross was not for His own accord. He had not sinned. He had not turned from God, as we have. He had not committed any sins against God. But He died on the cross for us to take our sins away, to help us to know that we would then be forgiven for all time. And because Jesus is the Son of God and able to do that, He makes us also children of God. Part of the family, adopts us in. Have you received Him again in your life today? Have you recognized that this is a day that God is not just with us, but God is within us? This is a day that God has come into you and led your spirit, by His Holy Spirit, has led your spirit to come here. God gets the credit for that, to worship Him, to sing His praises, to pray to Him, to hear His word proclaimed, to receive His body and blood. This is a day that God has desired that you would be with Him. And do you trust Him with this day? And will you trust Him with tomorrow? Is it good? Is it good that God is in your life? Or is it much, much more than that? Is it good that God has given you this day and God is with you? Or is it something that means so much more than just being good for you? I hope you know the answer to that. And I hope you respond to God in a way that reflects the true answer to that in your life. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. If that's as far as you are along right now, then you haven't tasted the true glory of God yet. But we have the opportunity again today to come forward, to receive Him into our lives, to know His forgiveness, and to leave from this place blessed by Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and the only God. Amen.